The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Good morning, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019. This is the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, online at WTKA.com. Busy Tuesday for you. We'll get to Eric Backage coming up at around 7:25. At around 7:45, of course, the recruiting roundup. The return of Paul Weser talking Tigers baseball at 8:05. He'll join us at on Tuesdays at 8:05 from now through the end of the Tigers baseball season. I just received word just moments ago, however, that at around 8:45 this morning, we will not hear today from Rich Redding, the Townie Top 3. He is, for the first time since we have started the feature, it's been over a year, and he is under the weather. And so we actually missed work, and yeah, he can keep his sick out of our studio, so we are no problem for us. We do not feel that we are missing out when he does not want to bring the sick in. So Townie Top 3 will return next week. He will actually be missed very much so today. But we have a lot still in store for you. So after we'll have, of course, Paul Weser at 8:05, Eric Adelson at 9:05. And we're also going to be joined by a couple of doctors this morning from the University of Michigan. And they're going to talk to you about where your money, our money for the Michigan Softball Academy, where it goes and what it's used for. And so we'll continue our countdown to Thursday's Michigan Softball Academy with a couple of doctors joining us this morning in the 9 o'clock hour as well here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, online at WTK.com. And speaking of Softball Academy, you can donate to our team, and that's great. We'd love for you to donate to our team. But if you want to make a donation and, you know, get something even more so back in return, if you donate to our team through WTK.com or through our pinned tweet on Twitter on at Michigan Insider, if you go through that link and you make a $250 donation or reach out to me, we will set you up with a pair of passes to the Go Labatt Blue Victors Lounge of your choice this fall. However, if you just want to make a donation and maybe you want to get an auction item, go to msoftballacademy.org and click on the link for the silent auction, which if you scroll down a little bit, there's a link for the silent auction, and you will see so many great items. Of course, they're going to auction off the pink jerseys for the senior players on the Michigan softball team, but there's also the Bo Schembechler and Lloyd Carr signed football. There's the 1999 sheet of Michigan football season tickets signed by Bo Schembechler. There's a lot of other great items in there as well. So the silent auction is terrific, and it is available on the silent auction link on msoftballacademy.org, or you can find it on the Michigan softball Twitter feed. I've retweeted it as well. So great way to support the Michigan Softball Academy by using the online auction, and so many great items for you to get. There's some pairs of size 12. If you wear that size, or maybe you just want them for display, Nike Jordan cleats that the football team wears on game day. Really sweet shoes. If you're a size 12, I'm super jealous because I was hoping they'd have them in my size, but that unfortunately does not exist. So support the Softball Academy. You can donate to our team. You can still sign up for the Softball Academy at msoftballacademy.org. You can still do the social mixture. That's at msoftballacademy.org as well. And if you go to that link and click on the silent auction link, all the great silent auction items are available there. Again, that's at msoftballacademy.org. We'll continue here to open things up on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket, online at WTK.com. There's a bunch of Don Brown we want to play for you, so we could talk about it this morning here on the show, as Don Brown doesn't generally hold back, right? He has a lot that he likes to he's not a real coach speak kind of guy. He gets kind of physical out there. If you listen, you'll hear some times where he'll say, and the guy goes, woof, and what you can't see is his arms coming across as he's trying to demonstrate a move, and he will do that sometimes. He gets a little I mean, it's Don Brown. He's aggressive, right? You solve your problems with aggression, and so that makes sense that he's nearly a hands-on guy when he talks to the media. Always fun to talk to Don. We will hear from him coming up in just a little bit. But I don't watch a lot of playoff hockey, and I've talked about this recently. I don't watch a ton of hockey. When the Wings are obviously in the playoffs, I'm watching the games. That's been a little while. We're hoping for the return of that with Stevie Y. But I there's one thing that hockey does better than anybody else, and I've said this many times on the show, and there's no question about it. Now, I think all different playoff series, whether it's March Madness, which is an unbelievable postseason, or the NFL, one and done, same kind of thing, or the best of seven series in baseball or football, or baseball or basketball or the NHL, they're all a lot of fun. But the Stanley Cup playoffs seems to be a little added extra because it's just seems to be that much more grueling. Because seven game series, all the hitting, the travel, everything that goes into it just seems that much more grueling. And there's something special about game sevens on the ice. We have two game sevens tonight in the first round, and we have a game seven tomorrow night. There are three opening round game sevens. We've already seen top seeds get knocked off, which, again, that's a benefit to the Wings because Steve Eiserman's year with the Tampa Bay Lightning was done early. But we've seen early high seeds get knocked out. You see so many different fun things in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But the best part is getting game sevens, and there are two game sevens tonight. And then there's a game seven tomorrow night. If you can manage to stay up for the second one, because you have Boston-Toronto at first one, and then late at 10 o'clock, you have the San Jose-Vegas game. And if you can stay up for that one and you're listening to this right now, either you work overnight so you're already up anyway at 10 p.m., or more power to you for turning around on really short sleep, or maybe you can get in a nap later today. But two game sevens tonight. There's a game seven tomorrow in D.C. with the defending Stanley Cup champion Caps. So three game sevens over a two-day period. It does not get a whole lot better than that in the Stanley Cup playoffs than having three game sevens over a two-day span. It's sweet. It's absolutely terrific. And so I'm going to try to watch as much of it as I can today and tomorrow. I'm guessing my body clock will only handle so much of it. But my plan is to watch as much Stanley Cup game seven action as I can over the next 2 days. And hope you do. As well. But the other thing that a lot of people are keeping their eye out for over the next few days, I think most people that are listening to this and football fans in general, obviously, over the next couple of days, we're going to the final gear ups for Thursday night's opening round of the NFL draft, 8 o'clock for Thursday, and then rounds 2 and 3 on Friday, and then the final rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. So yesterday, we recorded this week's Attack Each Day podcast, so it was Coach Jim, it was Coach Jack, it was Matt Dudek, it was myself, and we had Adam Schefter join us. And we didn't get too deep into where he thinks the Michigan guys are going to go, although he did say that he started leaning now towards thinking that Devin Bush is going to go higher than Rashawn. But he thinks Rashawn will go from the top 10 down to maybe 15, and Devin Bush will go somewhere starting around 10 or 12 down to around, I guess it could be a little lower, but he kind of does expect at this point Devin to go higher than Rashawn. And I can get to that in a moment, but
former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
It's funny, one of the things that we talked about on the show, we spend so much time, and in this context, we talk about Rashawn, we talk about Devin. I can throw Chase in there, and I'll get to that in a moment as well, but we talk so much about the first round. And all this energy is put into the first round. But rounds 2 and 3 on Friday are really important. Rounds 4 through 7 over the weekend on Saturday are really important. And those rounds are probably actually harder than the earlier rounds. You have the clock changes in between how much time you have in between picks. Your boards get all jumbled, and as you start striking players off boards, it just looks different. You have started to add needs to your roster, so now your needs change on your draft board. It becomes chaotic. I would love to be a fly on the wall and watch. We get a peek into draft rooms on over the draft, but not where you're watching a team for like an hour straight leading up to their pick in like the fifth round. What is that like? How many phone calls are they fielding from other teams? How many phone calls are they sending out to other teams? Are they trying to move up? Are they trying to move back? Are they singling on like, well, we have a guy that we had a second round grade for, and he's now sliding in the fourth round. Should we trade up for him? Should we hope he falls to it? There's so many fascinating things that happen in the behind the scenes in those rooms that I would love to be a fly on the wall to experience that, to see what that is all about just one time, just to kind of see it, because it really is pretty interesting stuff. So we talked to Adam about that. We talked to him about how busy his week is. His week is so busy that he was on a landline phone, and we still drained the battery. We were almost done, and Jim asked a question about what Adam thinks they're going to do with the Lions pick, and If you're a Lions fan and you don't want them to take a tight end, you may not want to listen to that segment. He's, that doesn't guarantee they're going to take a tight end, but he definitely does bring it up. So you may not want to listen to the last 2 minutes of the interview with Adam Schefter on the Attack Each Day podcast if you don't want to hear that. However, he does bring up other positions of need. But it's – we talked to him for so long during his one of his busiest weeks of the year that he is – really is you know, we drained his phone. So he did predict Devin Bush before Rashawn Gary. He thinks it might be close, but he also predicts that there's a pretty good chance that Devin does go before Rashawn. So on the Rashawn side of it, Sam talked a lot about Rashawn yesterday. There was a note about his Wonderlic test that started to make its round yesterday, that he had a really low Wonderlic test. But keep in mind that Rashawn is a two-time academic All-Big Ten. He has been diagnosed with, I believe it's dyslexia. I know he's been diagnosed with a learning disability. So you give him a Wonderlic test and you put him in that kind of a situation for test taking, and that's not an ideal scenario. So I'm going to dismiss that. I think most NFL teams are going to dismiss his low Wonderlic score as well because of the fact that they have other evidence to show that he's a smarter guy than that, right? He's academic All Big Ten a couple of times. So let's just stick with that part of it. But that may be one of the reasons why maybe a couple of NFL teams weigh that a little too heavily, and they are dropping him down boards, and that could lead to be some of the reason behind some of the potential slippage that we were talking about yesterday. But we addressed a lot about Rashawn yesterday. But on Devin Bush, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this and reading a lot of draft boards, and there's so many draft analysts, but you have to kind of pick and choose, you know, who you think some of the best ones are. The guy from the From the Athletic, I think he does a really good job, and I was reading him yesterday and just reading some of his bits on a bunch of different guys on the that are in the top 10, top 20 on his draft boards. Dane Brugler does a terrific job, and when you go through his top 10, he just does a big board. He doesn't do, at least in the list that I was reading, and I think this is much more beneficial than reading a mock draft, because mock drafts, the names may be right, but you're not going to get that many of the players going to the right teams. So I just like reading big boards for the most part, and he has the numbers, the height, weight, arms, hands, wingspan, 20, 40, the 40, the 20 split, 10 split, those things. He has a lot of that in there, and he goes into the top 10, and he starts with Nick Bosa, and then he goes to Quinnen Williams at Alabama, Josh Allen at Kentucky, and a lot of edge guys, a lot of defensive line guys is what it seems like early after Allen. You go to Jonah Williams from Alabama, offensive lineman, then at Oliver from Houston. Number six is TJ Hockenson, who is one of the guys that a lot of people are circling for the Detroit Lions. He's a top six guy, top 10 guy on draft boards. I know it will frustrate being, you know, drafting a tight end that early, but he is that high on the boards. Montez Sweat from Mississippi State, who would be a terrific pick by the Lions, he's at number seven. Christian Wilkins, who I absolutely love from Clemson, is at number eight. Andre Dillard, an offensive tackle from Washington State, is at number nine. And then number 10, Devin Bush. And so I was reading his report at number 10. It says, Bush checks boxes for speed, instincts, and tenacity, but he's slightly below average in the size department, which will be critiqued differently by each NFL club and system. He will get washed and lost in the sea of bodies near the line of scrimmage, but there's no doubting his toughness, football character, and competitive drive, and it isn't manufactured. He has genuine energy and enjoyment for hunting the football and playing physical. Overall, Bush doesn't have ideal take-on skills to thrive inside as a mic, but his ability to diagnose his reaction, quickness, and his closing speed are special, projecting best as an impact starting will in the National Football League. Fact is, he's close to 240. He's not 6 feet tall, which is why they talk about his size, but he's close to 240. But when you read the list on some of these guys, there are every year a handful of guys. There's a lot of high-risk, high-reward guys. So Rashawn Gary, high-risk, high-reward. If he pans out the way you think, he's going to be really good because he's a physical specimen. But it's a high-risk, high-reward is the way teams look at him because he didn't have the numbers posted here in Ann Arbor. I think that based on his skill set, his mentality, his game film, obviously, you want to throw in, I know it's part of the skill set in the game film, but throw in another mention of his speed. Throw in his family history. I think that's a part of it yesterday. And I know Lewis Riddick on ESPN made a comment that was making the rounds that Lewis Riddick said that Devin Bush Jr. was the best player in the draft. Now, that's the way Riddick quantified it. I would say that Devin Bush Jr. might be as safe a pick as there is in the draft. Now, it doesn't mean that there isn't a better pick. It doesn't mean that there isn't a guy as safe as him. But I think based on the way Devin Bush plays football, I think that there is not a pick in the draft, or there isn't one. there could be on par, but there's nobody safer. I think he's a really safe pick. And that's the way I would characterize it. And a safe pick in the top 10, the top 15, I think he's going to make a team really happy. Devin Bush Jr. is an absolutely terrific football player. And I remember how good David Harris was in the NFL, and I think that you have a chance to see Devin Bush Jr. be better. He is a phenomenal football player. He thinks the game so well, and I think at that position, you do need to be able to think the game. And so I would put him in that category of being a really safe pick. And unfortunately, that means he's not going to make it to my wife's Packers or my Ravens unless either of them trade up to get to him. And that's unfortunate because I think he's going to be gone by the top 12 or top 14. NFL draft in a couple of days. Spring ball behind us. We hear from Don Brown next here in the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.